Thank you, Mr. Ferrier. Happy Sabbath to everybody. As that song, the words in there, God will see us through. I know He will. I'd like to welcome all the guests that are here today for this special day in remembrance of Nancy's. I also have received a couple phone calls from family members, so to all you fathers out there tomorrow, happy Father's Day. If you're looking for a title to this message today, Freely Given God's Grace. Today, most Christians believe that they are saved by grace, which in most part is true, but they believe that they don't need to keep the commandments of God. They don't believe that they need to keep the fourth commandment, especially, and they are believing in a lawless grace. We know people believe we're trying to earn our salvation by keeping the Sabbath and all of God's commandments. But that isn't true. The Bible clearly teaches that we are saved by grace, which is a free gift from God, and that we are rewarded according to our works. And there is a big difference between being saved by grace and being rewarded according to works. Many people fall for the lie of lawless grace. We know we have to have works, but we cannot earn salvation by works by themselves. Everyone does produce works, either good or bad. Evil works, disobeying God's commandments, will earn you the death penalty. And what about good works? Do they earn a person anything? Yes, they do. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16. I know I have that here. Matthew 16, we'll read verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to their works. It means, how are we living our lives today? No place in the Bible does it teach that we are being saved by works alone. Even a lifetime of commandment keeping can never earn us salvation and eternal life in and by of itself. But this does not mean that we are to do good works. We are. We are commanded to do so. Some people like to quote Ephesians 2. If you'll turn there with me, please, to Ephesians 2. Ephesians, the second chapter. I'd like to read verses 8 and 9 to begin with. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, they read those two verses there, but they forget to go on down and read verse 10, which reads, For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So they select a few scriptures here and there to try to make things fit the way they want to believe, instead of putting all scripture on the subject together to come to the truth. We're going to look now back into the Old Testament, into the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter. I used to hear this a lot when I first started attending church. There was a local elder used this verse quite frequently. Isaiah, the 28th chapter, and to begin reading in verse 9. I know Mr. Brayman and Helen will remember these verses. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk are those drawn from the breast. In verse 10, and this is the one. For precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, a line here, or a line upon line, and line upon line, here a little, there a little. So, they select those verses to try to make things fit into their program. But Jesus Christ tells us to believe in every word of God, not just a few select verses. And the Bible tells us to be wary of people who do this. And you'll see that. Turn with me now to 2 Peter, the second chapter. Got a few verses to go through today, but we're going to be here to learn. Second Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring themselves self-destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Most of us can remember back over 15, 16 years ago when that very thing was happening in the services that we sat in. Ministers were getting up, reading one or two verses here and there, twisting God's word, just as Peter said, and many people will follow their destructive way, and we know many did. Another scripture people like to misuse is in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 14. I have that in my notes. You can mark it in yours. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So now that we are under grace, does that mean that we are given a license to disobey God's law? The very next word shows plainly, this does not mean that we are free to break God's laws. So we'll read Romans, the 6th chapter, and picking it up in verse 15. Romans 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the one's slave whom you obey, whether it's sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? And we got to be leading that one that leads us to righteousness. Grace does not mean a license to sin. The Bible definition is sin is a transgression of the law. 1 John 3. Let's pick it up in 1 John 3. Verse 1 John 3, I'd like to read just one verse there. 1 John 3, verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You were under the law when the law stood over you, claiming the penalty. When Jesus Christ paid the penalty and satisfied the claims of the law, you were no longer under the law, but under grace. Mainstream evangelists are deceiving people into believing that grace means permission to break God's law, and they have to do all they have to do, one has to do, is to believe on the name of Jesus and they're saved. There's nothing more to do. The Bible says that we are being saved, not yet saved, but we're being saved from sinning, that being law-breaking, as well as past sins. Christ came to save us from sinning. He didn't come to save us in sin. We, all of us, occasionally will slip up and cause one of us to sin because we are not yet perfect. But we're not living in sin. We aren't practicing sin as a way of life. When we accidentally sin, we repent and ask God to forgive us of that sin. But there is a precondition here. If we are to come under God's saving grace, we must genuinely repent of that sin and have faith that Christ's atoning sacrifice and His shed blood will give us that forgiveness of sin that we need. But this is no way earns us God's favor or grace. God's grace is a gift freely given to each one of us who is willing to live Christ's way of life. My good friend Nancy Sass was one of these people, a person that was willing to live his way of life. She did, and she has endured to the end. And I know one day, if we're all working towards salvation, and we'll be in God's kingdom, we're going to see Nancy Sass again one day. It's our job now to endure to the end. We cannot earn salvation by works, but evil works, disobeying God's commandments, can earn us the penalty of death, which we do not want. So what about good works? Do they earn us anything? Yes, they do. Good works are required. We are not justified by works or saved by good works, but we are to be judged by our works and rewarded accordingly to those works one day. In Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 21, Jesus tells us, "To the one who overcomes will I give authority to sit with me on my throne." Turn with me now, if you will, please, to Revelation, the 2nd chapter. Revelation 2, verse 26. "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over nations." And you can mark in your notes also Revelation, the 5th chapter, verse 10. "And he did make us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth." So this is ultimately the goal that we should be striving for. Now, if you turn over one page or so in your Bible to Revelation, the fourth chapter. Revelation 4, I'd like to begin reading in verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. I better get in the right chapter here. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. And this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. These verses show us the saved are to reign with Christ in his kingdom for 1,000 years. And God said, hear his voice. Again, Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 tells us, for the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Alexander Coppersmith did a great evil to the Apostle Paul, and you can read of this in 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. And may the Lord reward him accordingly to his works. Meaning the wages he earned or the reward to be given can earn a reward in God's kingdom. Turn with me now to Romans, the fourth chapter. Romans 4 and verse 14. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise of made is of no effect. Salvation is not paid as a debt, but is given freely by God, an undeserved gift. But works earn wages. So it isn't grace or works, but it is grace and works that we must have and do. Grace will give us immortality and put us in God's kingdom as God's freely given gift to each one of us. But works will earn us or qualify us for a better office, a more opportunities to serve in the days in the kingdom of God. For doing more good, we will be able to serve better. So now we are being saved to serve, not yet saved yet, but we are on the road to being saved. With God's Holy Spirit working in us, we can have an outgoing, loving concern and attitude for others, for brethren in the church, and for others outside the church. I know there's a lot of good people out there that are doing a lot of good service. They're not of this fellowship, And my wife and I attended a memorial service for our next door neighbor yesterday. I qualify them as good Christian people. They've done a lot of good service, and they were good neighbors. And I know it won't take a whole lot of effort in the white throne judgment that old Carl Whitney, his eyes will be open, and he'll see the need of the truth of the fourth day, the fourth commandment, keeping the Sabbath. That's probably one of the ones that he didn't do, but would be easy for him in the days ahead. In 1 John 1, verse 3, Paul tells us that truly our fellowship is with him, being God. God gave us this day so we could come to know him and have a close, loving relationship with him. Now, we're here to learn more of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, but we're also here to learn to love one another, to get to know one another. We're here for a short period of time. You know, the Bible says they give man three score and ten? I look around, there's some of us have already cashed in on that. So whatever time we have, we need to make it a very useful purpose in our lives to get to know one another, to be able to serve one another, because the opportunities are always going to be there to be a service to one another. Isaiah, the 58th chapter, please. Isaiah 58, I'd like to begin reading in verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, and the mouth of the Lord has spoken. There are many wonderful blessings that come with keeping God's Sabbath day. We can be fed spiritually, and we can grow in faith by hearing God's words preached to us each weekly Sabbath. We have Christian fellowship, and we learn what the needs of others are so that we can serve and be a help to them when they're in a time of need. Please turn with me now to Matthew, the 25th chapter. And we're going to read a few verses there that ties in with this. Matthew 25, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will gather before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting judgment, but the righteous to eternal life. So we can see from these verses I just read that helping others, we're helping Christ, and also we're helping each other, as we are told to do in those scriptures that I just read. Now we're going to turn to Titus, the third chapter. Titus 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable for mankind. These scriptures plainly show us we have to have good works and produce fruit during our stay here on earth. But salvation from God is a freely given gift, not something that we can earn. When we received God's Holy Spirit by grace, we didn't deserve it, and we didn't earn it. It was freely given to us. And that Spirit must produce fruit. We are expected to take the grace that is freely given by God and grow spiritually in preparation for the kingdom of God. God has a very important assignment for each one of us to fill in His government in the soon coming kingdom. And I think if we basically turn on the news or listen to the internet, we can see that things are growing closer and closer to the time that we're all looking forward to. Turn with me now back into the Old Testament to the book of Daniel. Daniel, the 7th chapter, I'll be reading one verse, which is 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey Him. Revelation, the 20th chapter. Revelation 20, one verse, and that's 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. For this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in that first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Turn over now just one page to Revelation 22. I'd like to read verses 12 through 14. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his works. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to see the tree of life and enter through the gates of the city. Yes, we will be rewarded for our works, but our works will not earn us salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God, but we do have our part to do in it. With the help of God's Holy Spirit working in each one of us, we are to grow daily in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and to live God's way of life. And we're going to read now from the book of Philippians. I get there. Philippians 2, and I would like to read verses 12 and 13 out of Philippians 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. When it is properly understood, once we are under God's grace, we are to strive to do God's good pleasure. Turn with me now for one last scripture here to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 1, I read verses 11 and 12. Therefore we also pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, in these evil times that we're living in presently, we need to come out of this world and to seek God's will in every aspect of our daily lives. We need to be doing His righteous works and growing in His freely given grace. God said, "Hear my voice."